Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 40. All Its Graces. Glasgowrie Ward was awash in the people of the Undercity. The atmosphere on the day of the ceremony was one of uncommon celebration. It wasn't that Renata was unfamiliar with Zonite festivals and parties. It was more that, even in her long life, she had never witnessed one that consumed the entirety of a ward before. She certainly never imagined it would be her own ward given over to such frivolities. No matter where she looked from the lofty vantage of her underspire, she could see vast crowds moving to and fro like great shoals of fish. There was music, laughter, and more food in one place than many of the people present had likely seen in the whole of their lives. It was a day where, for once, no Zonite in the world would go hungry. Stranger still was the lack of revulsion she was experiencing. Renata had accepted that she was going to be spending obscene amounts of money funding this celebration, and she didn't begrudge that in and of itself. It was all for Seraphine's sake. And Renata had long since come to the conclusion that Seraphine was worth every single red cent she had ever made and more. No. What Renata had expected to feel was irritation at seeing all of the people indulging themselves freely from her pocketbook. But instead, she only felt an odd, tugging sensation in the pit of her chest. Renata had never particularly liked children, and her ward was currently filled with the wretched little creatures, yet despite that, all she could think of while watching those malnourished urchins gorge themselves for perhaps the first time in their pitiful lives was how happy it would make Seraphine to see it. The people were being fed and entertained. Gangs that had spent years at each other's throats were breaking bread and sharing ale. Even from where she stood, Renata could hear the hush and murmur of Gutlau spoken in its myriad dialects, creating a kind of linguistic spillage that made no sense, and yet there was a beauty to it. Seraphine wanted unity, and today she was getting it. Director, Chuck stepped into her periphery. He was certainly bolder than he had been when Renata had first hired him, still very Noxian, but that wasn't a bad thing. We're ready to depart for the venue on your ward.
Thank you, Chuck, Renata said quietly.
Frontline reports are good as well, he continued. The brass cadres are being either pushed back and penned in, and the Demacian reserves are struggling against Singed's new weapons.
And beyond the front?
Renata asked. Chuck took out some papers that had been tucked under his arm and began shuffling through them, then said, Twitch's rats have infiltrated all of the plague wards and a few of the bordering wards, but extermination levels suggest that Piltov instead cottoned on to his plan. Additionally, Twitch has mentioned that his rats have started avoiding more and more of the cadre soldiers and the Demacians within the city. Narrowing her eyes, Renata finally turned away from the sprawling city and asked,
And does he have a theory?
He does, sir, but it's, out with it, Chuck.
Twitch is a mutated rat, so I'm not expecting miracles,
Renata said. He says there's not enough meat, sir. A chill went down Renata's spine at those words. She recalled the black-armored Chandra who had fought like Darkin during the Battle of the Eastern Sungate. According to Victor, they were a blend of bleeding-edge hextech and archaic chemtech. Most likely, they were also prototypes. If Piltover was refining the process and expanding it to the larger population of their military as a whole, then that was going to prove to be a problem. A handful of them had killed hundreds of Zonites, and that was after they had been ambushed. It beggared belief what they might do with both a numeric and tactical advantage.
And Zack?
Renata asked finally. Shuffling around the papers again, Chuck eventually pulled out a massive, folded pile of butcher's paper and held it out to Renata, who took it and shook it loose. Scrawled over it in Jinx's crabbed hand was an updated map of the Piltoven Pipeworks. Technically, it was still part of the Undercity, but the strata closest to Piltover had been sealed off from the Zonite tunnels over a century ago. As such, not even Jinx's maps included those sections of the city, and with no way to safely explore them under normal circumstances, it left an entire layer of both cities unmapped and under enemy control. That changed, of course, when one had an operative capable of squeezing their entire body through a 1-inch diameter section of piping. As useful as Zack's combat abilities might have been at the front, Renata had judged his abilities as an infiltrator to be far more valuable. Much like Twitch and his engineered plague, Zack had been kept off of the battlefield because, in this war, information would be king. And Renata refused to cede that kingship to their enemy.
"How much is left?"
she asked as she examined the map critically. "That map constitutes about 60% of the Piltoven pipeworks," Chuck replied. "But it's the most crucial areas, as you requested." Renata nodded.
"Good. I want to know every weakness in the city, and when the time comes to break into the upper pipeworks, I want to know them better than the clan."
"As you say, sir." Chuck took the map back along with the rest of the papers as Renata turned back to lean against the railing of the balcony.
"And the Noxians, one of the Grey Legion, where—"
"Sir, I'm sorry, but if I may—" Chuck broke in, and Renata straightened, turned, and fixed him with a dark look. Interrupting her was normally something that was met with violence, but for the moment, she allowed herself to let it go as she said,
"Yes, Chuck?"
Chuck swallowed audibly, then took a breath and said, "Sir, the front line won't collapse and the war won't be lost in a day," he began. "So I thought maybe you could just—"
"Spit it out,"
Renata said. Sighing, Chuck said, "It's your wedding day, sir, and you're allowed to enjoy it."
"Wedding day,"
Renata echoed derisively as she shook her head.
"There's no equivalent word for that in Gutlaun, did you know that?"
"Yeah, I've been learning a bit from Rana," Chuck said in the slang tongue, to which Renata chuckled.
"Not bad,"
she replied.
"But your elocution is too strong. You need to slur the words more and try not to speak through your nose so much."
"I'll bear that in mind, sir," Chuck replied gamely. Almost without thinking, Renata began running her fingers along the metal body of her prosthesis. The phantom ache that always clung to it was less noticeable that day for some reason. Renata blamed her own damnable distraction for that, among other things. There was a reason she was still dawdling in her suite rather than leaving, even though she knew she ought to go and make sure everything was set up to her specifications. It was just that if she did go down there, then Renata was possessed of the patently absurd notion that it would all become unavoidably real. As if it weren't already. So long as she stayed above it all, though, she could convince herself that it wasn't quite there yet. She felt markedly unlike herself, all told. "Sir?" Chuck said in a tone like someone approaching a large hunting cat that may or may not still be hungry. Lacing her hands behind her back, Renata gritted her teeth, looked back out over the balcony, and said,
"She deserves better than me, you know."
In a display of saint-like wisdom, Chuck said nothing, so Renata continued,
"Seraphine deserves better than me, and better than Zaun. She deserves to live her life in the sunlight, free of violence, in a place where she can be at peace and breathe clean air."
Renata moved a hand up to close her fingers tightly around the metal bicep of her prosthesis.
"She deserves to love a woman who is more than just a bundle of fury and hate."
Renata's words trailed off bitterly, and for a moment, she considered calling the whole damn thing off until Chuck cleared his throat and said quite clearly,
"Sir, with all due respect, at least half of that is patent bullshit, and you know it."
Turning to glare at Chuck, she was caught between a sliver of admiration for him not simply bolting away and the urge to throw him off the balcony as she asked through her teeth,
"Is that so?"
With all due respect, Director Glask, the Seraphine Arctura I've come to know wouldn't be caught dead living on some idyllic Demacian farm if there was still an ounce of injustice left in the world," Chuck continued. "Not that I don't agree with you, she's a wonderful woman, but, sir, she's angrier and more stubborn than you are." She'd probably fight a westward wind on principle if she thought it was blowing in the wrong direction.
Despite herself, Renata's anger ebbed as she snorted out a laugh. He was more right about that statement than he could possibly know.
"It's all right to have cold feet, you know," Chuck continued. "Happens to the best of us, or so I hear, but I've hardly seen anyone who loves the way Miss Sarah does, and she loves you fiercely, sir."
"I'm beginning to think I don't pay you enough, Chuck,"
Renata said thinly.
"Wouldn't say no to a raise, sir,"
Chuck replied with a faint grin. Huffing out another laugh, Renata nodded and turned away from the balcony. Cold feet indeed, perhaps that's all it was. She was approaching something that she had never imagined would be a reality for her life, and yet she was on the cusp of it all the same. It was the only thing she hadn't prepared for, and it was... Renata hated to admit it, but she was scared. Not frightened or ambivalent or any of those other more dignified words, no, Renata was quite simply scared. She was scared of disappointing Seraphine, scared of hurting Seraphine, scared of not being enough, or worse, of being too much. Renata was scared that one day Seraphine would look at her and regret that she had spent the best years of her life on an angry old woman. But it wasn't her choice. Renata had, for better or worse, and she desperately hoped it was for the better, fallen desperately in love with an incredible young woman, and that woman had fallen equally in love with her. It made no sense, but that was as it was. All she could do was fight to keep it. This time, she would keep her family safe.
"Let's go, Chuck,"
Renata said as she pulled on her suit jacket.
"I have a wedding to attend."
"Yes, sir, Director,"
Chuck replied. In retrospect, Renata ought to have known that her vehicle wouldn't reach the wedding site. She refused to call it a church or a chapel, since while it may have retained a superficial resemblance to those structures, no god nor aspect dwelt there, and Renata preferred to keep it that way. Likewise, the sheer volume of people who had arrived had not done so out of any piety, but rather to witness the wedding, or more likely, to indulge in the free food and drink. So many had, in fact, that it had left the roads almost impassable in places, and after an hour of watching Chuck attempt to maneuver around them without causing too much damage, Renata ordered him to pull off to the side, park, and to simply escort her the rest of the way on foot. It wasn't far, after all, and frankly, the confines of the cab, combined with her growing restlessness, were beginning to test her temper in ways she disliked. Flanked by Chuck, along with her security detachment of four heavily armed and armored Glasgowry wardsmen equipped with the latest mark of body armor, Renata forged a path through the milling crowd. As it happened, taking the footpath was actually faster, since people parted both quickly and surprisingly politely once they could actually see her. It was jarring. Everywhere she looked, she saw smiling faces. Zaun was in the middle of a war, and yet all around her, she both saw and felt more hope than she had ever witnessed in one place. Laughter rang through the streets as children bolted and wove between the mesh of legs, chasing one another in some mindless game whose rules changed with the seasons. The colored lights strung along the edges of buildings and over the roads and arches like neon ivy, combined with the clamor and the smell of food, gave everything a distinctly festival atmosphere. Renata was well aware of her timetable, but despite that and herself, she couldn't help but pause here and there to look around and take in the unusual sights and sounds. It was not often that joy could be heard in the depths of Zaun. Stranger still was her own treatment. Wherever she walked, she was greeted jovially. People so far below her strata of wealth and class that it was almost comical grinned, actually grinned, as they waved at her like they were old friends, and it was deeply unsettling. Like all Cambarans, Renata exercised a comfortable wariness of her constituents. Cambarans were powerful, but that was by dint of wealth, terror, and force of arms. There was no such thing as a popular Cambaran, or at least, there hadn't been until Jinx. Jinx, who couldn't have cared less about monetary wealth, and simply threw everything she earned back into Billowa simply so she didn't have to think about it. Jinx, who defended her people because they were hers, then retreated back into her workshop without asking for so much as a copper washer in return. And then there was Seraphine. Renata couldn't have asked for a better public relations officer. Over the course of a handful of months, Seraphine Arctura had almost magically turned the public opinion of Renata on its head. No more was she seen as the cruel tyrant who was little better than a Piltover in a filtration mask. Through Seraphine's efforts, she had become seen as some sort of a hardline general, willing to sacrifice anything, including herself, to bring down Piltover, and perhaps unsurprisingly, there was enough anger and vitriol towards the topsiders that even the people she had regularly exploited seemed to be on her side. It was an old adage, and one that Renata had only ever been contemptuously dismissive of, but the truth of it lay before her in plain color, that one only truly ruled by moving hearts and minds, and Seraphine was just such a ruler. For a moment, Renata entertained a deeply absurd thought that if Zaun was to prosper, it needed a gentler hand. Not just barons seeking to bleed the short-term profit from the city's clogged veins. Jinx couldn't care less about managing a city, and Lux was fucking insane. Seraphine, though. If anyone cared enough to try and heal this city, it was her.
Chuck, I'd like your opinion on something,
Renata said as they approached the venue. Really?
Really.
Chuck shrugged, then said, well, all right, sir.
What do you think of the title Kempress?
Renata asked. Silence stretched between them as they reached the doors, and two of her security split away to clear the short stairs and the room beyond. And Chuck chewed on his lip before finally asking, considering trading in your barony after the war, Director? Renata shook her head.
No,
she said.
I wasn't thinking of me, actually.
Then who? Oh. Chuck turned away from her as the doors opened, and he stared down the aisle at the currently empty faux altar for several seconds. When he did speak, he said very quietly, I think it sounds rather nice, actually.
As do I.
Renata stepped into the dim and comfortable shadows of the venue and took a deep breath. All of her long life, every time she had come to this place, all she had ever been able to smell was burning chems and scorched flesh. A sense memory of the moment her life changed and her purpose was clarified. Now, though, she smelled the subtle floral scent of the decor. Decorating the walls and supporting pillars were bundles of duskwash hung from carefully constructed trellises. No priest or officiant stood at the head of the altar, which was in accordance with Renata's wishes. She wanted to give Seraphine a ceremony, but there were no gods or aspects that either of them felt particularly had a say in their relationship, so they had forgone that part. Instead, it would be a simple thing, an exchange of vows and promises, and then the reception. Which was really just another excuse for Renata to laud Seraphine and perhaps dance with her. Moving up to the altar, Renata couldn't resist reaching out and running her hand along it, feeling the cold metal under her fingers, and all of a sudden, her throat threatened to close up.
Go and begin gathering the guests, please, Chuck,
Renata said hoarsely.
I want this to be done with.
As you say, Director. Chuck thankfully did not comment on her change of tone as he bowed himself out of the building. Finally alone, save for her wardsmen who were posted up outside, Renata forced herself to breathe evenly. The altar felt more like a cenotaph, an empty tomb to a life that might have been and never was, a life that her gentle parents had wanted for her. Renata Glask had never indulged in speaking aloud when she visited the empty lot where she had once lived. It had never felt necessary. She didn't really believe her parents would linger in such a place, and even if they did, she had never felt that she had anything to say to them that wasn't readily apparent in her actions. That had changed.
Mother. Father.
Renata began.
I know that if you could see me now, if you have been watching, that I must truly disgust you.
She took a deep, shaky breath, then pulled her filtration mask off and hooked it onto her belt as she said, "I make no excuses for my sins. I will not sully your memory by claiming I did this for you. In fact, for the longest time, I blamed you. Both of you. If only you'd just been a bit greedier, then perhaps you'd still be alive. Perhaps none of this would have happened." Renata trailed off, then bowed her head as tears silently began to trickle down her cheeks. It was an effort to speak again, but when she did, it was clear and steady. "I wish you could have met her," she said. "Sarah is everything you admired in us, in Zaun. She's fierce and beautiful. She's peerless." Renata drew her hand back and straightened out. "You three would have gotten on famously, I think." A loud knocking came at the door, and Renata wiped her eyes clear of tears before turning as Chuck pushed open the door and guests began streaming in. Among them were a few of her peers, Margot, Karina, Saito, and of course Jinx and Lux, as well as Echo and some of his firelights had made time to attend. But the rest had demurred for various reasons to which Renata had only half listened. In truth, she didn't care. The Barons had their own designs and could hardly appreciate Seraphina as she deserved. The rest were notables from her own ward, mine foremen, aldermen and women, and others who would carry the story far and wide. That was what Renata truly wanted. Seraphine valued the opinions of the little people over the opinions of the great and powerful, for better or worse, and they reflected that care back at her. Hearts and minds. Jinx's lanky form was unmistakable amidst the crowd, as was her impeccably dressed wife. Lux left Jinx at one of the front seats to move up to take her place across and one step down from the altar as Seraphine's bridesmaid and smiled up at Renata. "You look dashing, Miss Glask," Lux said conversationally as people took their seats. "Are you insinuating that I normally look otherwise, Lady Light?" Renata asked acerbically. Lux chuckled. "Not at all, but I can see you've pulled out all the stops. You're certainly holding yourself together better than Jinx did at our wedding." A low bar, but frankly, Renata was willing to accept it at that point. She certainly didn't feel as though she was holding anything together particularly well, but she was also a practiced dissembler, so she could at least be satisfied that it wasn't showing on her face. For now. "You do make her very happy, you know," Lux said suddenly. "It is quite literally the least I can do," Renata replied. Another soft chuckle left Lux's lips as she said, "I assure you it's far from the least. You simply have very high standards, which is good, but I do want to make one thing very clear, Miss Glask." "Oh?" Renata looked down at Lux with a raised eyebrow. "What's that, Lady Light?" "If you ever truly hurt her, I will kill you," Lux promised. Renata nodded. "If I ever truly hurt her," she said. "Then I'll let you." "I'm glad we can come to an accord," Lux replied. "As am I." And for some reason, that casual and wholly serious threat made Renata feel significantly better about everything. Having a blade to her neck was a comfortably familiar sensation. That comfort came to a jarring end as soft music began to play through the makeshift chapel that worshipped no god. And immediately both Lux and Renata straightened and looked down the aisle to the doors. They cracked briefly, then opened, and Renata's heart instantly jammed itself into her throat as Seraphine Arctura stepped onto the soft carpet of the aisle on her father's arm. Tulvis Arctura was just as Renata remembered him, a thin, balding, inoffensive man with narrow shoulders and a somewhat pointed face. His mediocrity was utterly eclipsed by the radiance of his daughter. Seraphine's hair was pulled back and up, gathered at her crown, and then allowed to fall down in a pink waterfall. She was wearing the long gown of red silk, hemmed and streaked in pure white that Renata had gotten her. And she was utterly radiant. White lace was embroidered across her shoulders and chest in patterns of flowing winds. A very zonite piece of symbology, and here and there were strings of pearls from the waters around Bilgewater, traditionally collected by Sulaki divers. And in her arms, Seraphine clutched a bouquet of exotic flowers that went from pink at the tips of their wide petals, all the way down to a deep purple near the bulbs. They were an exceptionally rare breed called Duskwash, which grew only on the cliff faces along the coast of Piltover and Zaun and a bit south down along the coast toward Ixtel. For all their beauty, they were damnably strong flowers with roots that dug into the bare stone, splitting it apart to anchor themselves against the high coastal winds. Echo had gone to great lengths to acquire those for the ceremony, and she had paid him very well for the risks he'd taken in doing so. Not just any hoverboarder could handle the harsh winds that scoured the cliff sides long enough to pick the blooms safely. Curiously, Seraphine looked almost as nervous as Renata felt as she allowed her father to half walk, half tow her down the aisle. His eyes met Renata's briefly, and she could see the distrust there, but only for a moment before he blew out a silent sigh and nodded. Feeling absurdly grateful for no reason that Renata could readily pinpoint, she nodded back just as Seraphine reached the altar, and Tolvis bid her a soft and fond farewell, before stepping back and going to the seat beside his wife. Finally they had come to it.
"You've got this,"
Lux murmured sotto voce to Seraphine as she turned to look up at Renata and smiled ear to ear.
"Well," she said shakily,
"here we are." Not quite trusting herself to speak yet, Renata nodded as she forced herself to calm down and take several deep breaths, before finally opening her mouth and saying,
I couldn't imagine an officiant. I hope you'll be satisfied with just my vows."
"We don't need an officiant."
Seraphine took a step closer and the floral scent of the dusk wash filled Renata's nose.
"I don't need anyone's permission but yours to be your wife."
"And you have it," Renata whispered. Reaching out, she laid her hands gently over Seraphine's until her fingers, metal and flesh, were folded around the stems of the duskwash and laced with Seraphine's own. And all the while, Seraphine smiled encouragingly up at her. This was it. The truth was that, even after so many years interacting with Piltovans and other topsiders, Gutlau was still what Renata fell back into when she wasn't thinking. Her mother tongue, the gutter tongue of Zaun, was her voice more than anything else.
"Seraphine Arctura," she began in Gutlau, "I have spent my long life in a fugue of vengeance. Like a sleepwalker, I pressed forward, unthinking and unwavering, and for all of that time, the only image in my mind was one of destruction." She brought her real hand up to stroke her knuckles across Seraphine's cheek. "Until I came across you, and you woke me up. I fought you every step of the way. And yet you drew me out of my darkness and into your light, until I was all but blinded by it." Against her will, tears burned at the edges of Renata's eyes. She had never in her entire life wept in public. Not when she had been whipped by Bulbach overseers, not during the surgeries for her prosthesis, not since she was a young girl, kneeling dumbly at the border of a burning home. And yet now she found that she didn't mind. Not this time. Not for now. Today it was all right. Today, she could allow the tears to fall. "I can no longer imagine a world without you,"
Renata said through a tightening throat.
"Nor can I imagine a life without you. This bitter,
unlovely world is made brighter and better for your existence. So here and now, I vow unto death and whatever comes after to renounce my cruelty and treasure this world for that reason and that reason alone.
Now Seraphine was crying and nodding as she held tightly to her hands. It was a good thing that she wore so little makeup or her face would probably be a mess. And she would be just as beautiful as ever.
I would give you everything I have, Renata continued. My name, my wealth, my barony, and every single year remaining to me. If you would but stay by my side, my dearest treasure. Seraphine Glask.
Of course I will.
Seraphine sobbed. It shouldn't have been any different than when they had exchanged their promise, but it was. There was something primal, almost magical, in uttering the words in front of so many witnesses. It was like she was sealing the words into the world itself, sanctifying them almost. If Renata had to compare the feeling to anything, it was like having her chest cracked open and having the promise carved into her ribs. It was a good pain. Taking a deep breath of her own, Seraphine said,
It's funny. I was the one who wanted this, but when I sat down to write my vows, I couldn't think of anything to say.
She laughed weakly, and her laughter was echoed by the audience.
So instead, I wrote you a letter, and I want to read it to you. And then I want you to keep it and read it whenever you're feeling like everything is too much, if I'm not around.
Whatever you've written, Renata whispered, I will treasure.
I know,
Seraphine murmured. Then she cleared her throat, drew out a small folded letter from a cleverly concealed pocket in her dress, took a deep breath, and began in sweet gutlow.
Let me tell you a secret that only I know.
The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.